Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as He is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in His Word that He would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I am your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is President and Founder of Good Fight Ministries and Pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Having a blessed day in the Lord, bro.
Amen, amen. And of course, with us always, also is Tony Palacio, producer of the show. How are we doing today?
Doing great. Getting over a little cold, but I'm doing good.
Awesome, awesome. Well, praise the Lord. One more thing to pray about, Tony. But nonetheless, we are really, really excited about this episode. Excited, I guess, is something that can be somewhat of a term that I don't want to use in this regard, but excited because we care about truth, we care about what God's Word says, and we want to show you guys what God's Word says on a number of different issues, and we're going to piggyback. Actually, the next three episodes are going to be piggybacked on what's going on here out of the biggest church, actually the leaders of the biggest church in America, and that's Lakewood Church in Texas. So, Joe, if you haven't heard the news, Mr. Joel Osteen and Victoria Osteen recently were pictured and seen at a Lady Gaga concert. You know, Joe, I would love to ask you, would you ever be seen at a Lady Gaga concert?
With Lisa?
with your wife, Lisa?
I might be seen there witnessing. We've been known to go to events to share the gospel outside the doors in a number of, you know, areas. So maybe in that kind of context, it breaks my heart. You know, at the same time, I would actually be surprised, though this might sound strange, I would be surprised if Joel Osteen and his wife would ever say that they wouldn't go enjoy a Lady Gaga concert, because I don't see them. The scriptures talk about the false teachers in the Old Testament, the priest who made no distinction between that which is holy and profane. And that's what I see happening today in many of the leaders that profess to be, you know, those who profess to be leaders of the body of Christ. They don't make a distinction. As we know, Joel Osteen has, you know, if you look at, you know, what he's taught through the years, he'll actually shun, you know, dealing with sin and even using the word sin. So actually, it's really heartbreaking because, you know, pastors are supposed to be examples above reproach and everything else. So to see that in with, you know, leading what's, you know, the biggest quote unquote church in America and his followers to think that a woman who oftentimes on stage has, you know, mimicked, you know, drinking blood all over her white dress and, you know, just disgusting things. A lot of occult paraphernalia promoting homosexuality from the stage, shoving it down your throat to see that. I mean, it's par for the course of what we say see the prophets talk about in the end times, though.
You know, it's interesting. You said you may be seen there preaching the gospel, you know, not pictured outside, which I know that there were some pictures going around online of them in front of a big sign with Lady Gaga, Sirius, Pandora out in front of them. And we've done, and Joe, Blessed Hope Chapel and Good Fight Ministries has actually helped to fund different groups going to these concerts, not to enjoy them in terms of listening to and just glorifying this music, but going to like the Electric Daisy Carnival, like we did a number of years ago.
Yeah.
Went outside there, you wrote the track, When Ecstasy Turns to Misery, and we took a small group out there and shared the gospel out front of EDC, which I'm going to be honest with you, and I've told this to a number of people. I went to Ozfest years ago as a non-believer. In fact, you know, quick factoid, the same Ozfest that at the beginning of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the same Ozfest where there's interviewed outside of there, I was actually at that concert as a fan of that demonic music.
Well, I was at Ozfest too, as a believer with Ray Comfort.
Exactly.
Outside the doors witnessing to the lost, you know, and we did some filming there as well.
And I remember seeing that and being like, whoa, that's weird. I was at that one
Crazy man before you're a believer, yeah.
Before I came to know Christ. And still, I remember to this day telling my wife Holly, who was there sharing the gospel with me, alongside of me, at the EDC, that I said, this EDC concert, this is the most demonic feel I've ever felt at any event. Like, I really felt like there was such a demonic presence there. And you see the oppression. And before you wrote the track, because you looked up and studied what was going on with ecstasy, MDMA, and all these different drugs, and saw things like Suicide Tuesdays and what's going on in the brain and some of the ways that when you're not sober and vigilant, the devil gets into your mind. And you had called it when ecstasy turns to misery. And then when we went, we saw when ecstasy turns to misery. We saw doing interviews before they went in, seeing the joy and the happiness. And, oh, I can't wait to go in there, asking them, hey, do you think anyone's going to be popping Molly tonight, which is a term for using ecstasy. And they're like, oh, I think 98% of the people in there are going to be popping Molly. And we see, oh, it's all happy and go lucky. And then you see them coming out. And misery. The misery.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so true.
Yeah, very, very sad.
I saw that. I mean, it hurt my heart. Like, you see, I remember distinctly, we're trying to share the gospel with this person right here, and this girl is screaming because her boyfriend's going into another car with some other, a few different girls. And I'm just like, over and over again, you saw that kind of stuff going on. And it was really sad. But the point was, it was for the point of sharing the gospel. It was for the point of saying, hey, this is wicked. This is evil. So I'm going to read, actually, some of the content. So it isn't just us saying, oh, Lady Gaga had a concert. Oh, you know what? But maybe she had all these great gospel songs and it was awesome. So what I'm going to do is read a little bit from Heather Clark's article on Christian News Network and tell you what some of the content of that concert looked like. It says the show started with, quote, are you ready to blinkin' party tonight? Are we making history? And the New York Daily News said the popular music streaming companies had announced last month that they would be presenting this special performance to celebrate SiriusXM and Pandora coming together as one company. They also noted that the concert coincides with World Pride Month, which this year is being celebrated in New York City, where the concert would be held at the Apollo. The Daily News reports that Gaga, quote, performed a selection of her most beloved hits, Dancing Around, in a most homoerotic latex fantasy, dropping F-bombs and getting tips from the future by speaking to an avatar-like Gaga figure. So we are not simply even just talking about disgusting, gross, nasty, sexual junk being thrown in your face, but then let's add a little bit of demonic to that. Not that it's not already there with the, you know, homoerotica and the nonsense, but I mean, is there any sort of place for this? We just had a conversation. We just had a couple of podcast shows that had to do with music. And I think this would be a really good time to say, wait a second. This may be the, I don't know, maybe secular music. I don't, this song, maybe this, maybe that. What about, what is this? This is just demonic and people are listening to this?
Yeah. You know, it's crazy because we have a, if anyone wants to check it out, some of you probably in our audience, we have a lot of great brothers and sisters out there that love truth. And follow a lot of our videos on goodfight.org. And, you know, go to Good Fight Ministries on YouTube, and you'll see a lengthy Lady Gaga expose. You know, she wears goat heads, which is used in Satanism. And she actually, we show how she lifts some stuff from Kenneth Anger. Kenneth Anger is the co-founder of the Church of Satan with Anton LaVey. Kenneth Anger, you know, he did a movie called Lucifer Rising, Invocation of My Demon Brothers, another one, and several others. He's an avid follower of the Satanist Aleister Crowley, and she lifted some stuff. We show her, we show scenes from one of his movies, one of his Crowleyan inspired movies, and we show her lifting scenes from Kenneth Anger's material. And he's known to be about one thing, and that's you know, the homoerotica stuff mixed in with his homosexuality, mixed in with his Satanism. So that she, you know, and you know, I don't think, you know, honestly, that, you know, Osteen is like in a Crowley and, you know, knows all those things. But I do know this, that just your average believer these days knows that Lady Gaga is promoting that which is, I'm talking about genuine believers, you know, knows that she's promoting things that are contrary to scripture. What's reprehensible about it and breaks my heart the most is, from maybe a pastoral position, is that he's considered a pastor. and he has a huge following, and he's going to impact a lot of other people. And there are all kinds of people who are going to say, wow, Joel's doing that. His wife's doing that. This is wow, I guess this is acceptable. I guess it's okay. And the scriptures tell us that God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. That's over there in Ephesians 4, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And one of the things it states is that they would, you know, that we'd no longer be children taught or, you know, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And that's why pastoral ministry is given, is to feed the sheep, to protect the sheep, to guard them from the evil one. And when you're leading the sheep by example into the mouth of the wolves, and by the way, I've got to shoot straight, man, is I don't regard Joel Osteen as a Christian. I regard him as a wolf. So it's one wolf bringing, leading by way of, you know, deception. And I'm not saying, like I said, he knows exactly what he's doing. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, talks about how deceivers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So many of these guys who are deceiving are themselves deceived, and they may even feel justified in what they're doing. But when you're leading people into that kind of state, it's heartbreaking also, because not only are pastors, according to Ephesians 4, one of the things that we're to do is to make sure that the Lord's children aren't tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But if you can't make a distinction between good and evil yourself as a leader, you lack that kind of discernment. Scripture is warned in Hebrews chapter 5, right before Hebrews chapter 6, which has one of the strongest warnings against apostasy in all of the Bible. And he tells them to go on from elementary things in Hebrews chapter 6, the first couple of verses. Then he warns about what happens to those who have fallen away and so forth. And it's pretty powerful warning. But right before that, at the end of chapter 5, it says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And the context there is that the children of God, the babes in Christ, need to go beyond the milk and get on the meat so they're not deceived, so they can discern between good and evil. But when you have pastors, quote unquote, leading them astray who can't discern between good and evil, and then lead them right into evil, you're talking about a mess, and hence the American church.
Yeah, and I was thinking about the text, and you've actually brought this up in a number of teachings from Isaiah chapter 5, where it speaks about these banquets and these gatherings that they had. And it speaks in verse 11, talks about them being inflamed with wine and drinking. And then in verse 12, it says their banquets are accompanied by lyre and harp, by tambourine and flute, and by wine. But they do not pay attention to the deeds of the Lord, nor they consider the works of his hands. And it also mentions right after that, therefore my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge. And I think that this willful ignorance maybe of some of these artists, that some teachers may tell you to be willfully ignorant, but it is good to have some sort of cursory knowledge and understanding of the things that, by the way, your kids, and hopefully not your kids, but maybe their friends when they go to the soccer field or they're at school, maybe into these artists. And it's really, really nice to be able to say, hey, I know who that is, and let's steer clear. In fact, last night after the study on the Wednesday night Bible study here at Blessed Hope Chapel, which we have on live feed, by the way, we had a young girl that just went down to Mexico with us who was sharing the gospel and so excited. She comes back. She wants to continue to share the gospel. And one of her friends is a fan of Led Zeppelin. So she's like, where can I get a rock and roll DVD? Is this the one with Led Zeppelin? I'm like, there you go. Let's go. You know, go get that word out there. And it's good to not remain willfully ignorant about some of these artists. You know, maybe you could talk a little bit of that, Joe.
Yeah, no, we definitely need to be aware of what's going on in culture. I think you point out, Chad, in a couple of podcasts ago that, you know, Paul, you know, quoted some of the poets, you know, yeah. They weren't Christians. And he did it to show a distinction, you know, between light and darkness. And even that one of their poets would have agreed with a certain point that he was making. So it's interesting, though, because in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, do not be bound together, this is chapter 6, verse 14, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore come out from their midst, be separate. I think the King James says, be ye separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. It's a condition. Mm-hmm. If you repent and turn from darkness, I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And then, you know, this is not the best place for a chapter break, which was put in by men, of course, but you keep reading the word. Chapter 7, verse 1, it goes right into, therefore, it gives the application. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, promises of what? Being welcomed to him, being his children. Let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So it's amazing. And there's a fear of God, you know, and the fear of God is one of the missing messages in these days, because the scriptures tell us in the last days, you know, there would be many false teachers that arise, and they tickle people's ears and tell them what they want to hear, and they turn their ears away from the truth to myths, to fables, to lies. And that's going on right now, because we have preachers that want to tickle ears, that want to have big churches, don't want to rock the boat. And it's one thing to not speak against sin. That's evil. Because to know to do what's right and not do is sin, and we're supposed to condemn sin. Joel Osteen has made an emphasis on how he doesn't like to talk about sin. And it's kind of interesting, though. It's another thing to go just headlong into sin and lead by way of example. And I know, as pastors, I mean, I've got three children. You know, I know children will be influenced by my wife and myself and how we live our lives, you know? We know that we could, biblically, we could have some wine as long as we didn't get drunk. But I've read the studies that those who drink even a little bit of wine before their children, their children are far more likely to become drunks and alcoholics. Does that mean you can't drink wine because of that? No. But I just like to go be above reproach. I'd love to have my children understand and see, because I've seen a lot of people growing up with examples that where they try to be good examples, but at the same time, they maybe don't realize the effect they might be having on their children. And I think as pastors, and along with, I mean, guess what? I feel if I was with, I have two secretaries, my wife and Mary, and we all work with both of them, right? But guess what? I know I could go hang out in the office with Mary and I wouldn't have a problem. The Bible says, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So I'd have to make sure I take heed. But I never spend time alone with her. My wife's my main secretary, and then she works with my wife. And I think it's great, because I want to be above reproach. I've got to make sure, the Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. So to go into a Lady Gaga concert where she's known for promoting homosexuality, which the Bible warns, if you practice these things and homosexuality is listed on that vice list, you won't inherit God's kingdom. And they're championing it when he's there. I mean, what's he doing when she's promoting this? Is he jumping up on the chair saying, yeah, yeah, you know, she's, you know, getting all excited. He's saying, yeah, every day's Friday, you know. What's he saying? What's he doing? Or is he like praying the whole time? And then, well, why are you there? And then what are you going to say about it later? And it's all about, you know, Jesus said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. And sometimes pastors, we're prone to it as well. Nobody likes to be criticized, and you know, we all like the feelings of acceptance. That's our flesh, though. We realize Jesus was crucified, you know. The apostles, almost every one of them were killed. All of them were persecuted radically. John, who wasn't killed, was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And Jesus said, you know, you'll be persecuted for righteousness' sake. And Paul said, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's our lot. And I'd rather have, and the scripture talks about how we'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant, you know. And 1 Peter talks about having the praise of God. I'd much rather play for an audience of one, the one true God who made me, who loves me, the lover of my soul, who sent his son to give himself for me, who's written my name in heaven, and be with him for eternity and just love on him, then just, you know, it just blows me away. It's like, what are you doing, man? This life is very short. And the Bible says teachers will have a stricter judgment. That means, it says, you know, do not let many of you, you know, desire to be teachers. Yeah. For you will have a stricter judgment. And guess what? When I was a new Christian, I was walking with Jesus. I knew I was called to be a pastor. Paul said, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. So once you know you have a call, you have no choice unless you make the wrong choice. But at the same time, I know every time I step in that pulpit, whenever I get and do a show like this with you guys, you know, that, hey, I'm going to give an account. And Jesus said, every idle word that we speak is going to be judged. So I want to make sure that we use all of our words for his glory. And James says, you know, with speaking, he goes, we know he's in that context. He says, we all stumble in many ways. So none of us can be absolutely perfect, but it's one thing to fall short and seek to be perfect and seek to be holy as he is holy. It's another thing to just run headlong and lead your congregation with an example into blatant evil.
You know, it's really interesting being involved in youth ministry, whether it's even coaching at a secular high school and sharing the gospel with the kids there, or being here for the last 7.5 years and helping lead the youth group here. There was a couple of things, and you mentioned it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I believe if you are out there, if you're one of those people that is leading youth, if you're not memorizing and meditating on 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 21 and 7:1, I think you're somewhat failing those young kids, because everyone wants to talk about, oh, why are young kids leaving the church? Why are they doing this? Well, maybe because their best friends, their boyfriends, their girlfriends, they're all non-believers. And so it's really something that's always been embedded into my heart.
It's a great point.
And another thing that has always been embedded in my heart came from a little book, this little red book that I read as a new teacher, was called The Art of Soul Winning. And in that book, there was a youth minister who told a story about having to come clean with the head pastor because of something that they did, something terrible, this grievous sin that they committed, because that youth leader said, I know why I came to admit the sin. I know why I have not been able to see any fruit lately. I know what happened. And basically the story was, they found out I was a hypocrite. I was preaching against all this sin, and yet they saw me at the theater about to watch. And for them, I believe the leader said they were going to watch Romeo and Juliet or something along those lines. But I just remember reading that and just thinking, man, I really want to care about it. I'm not going to place, you know, some burden on someone else. But I knew right from that moment, I said, you know what? I always want to care about that flock. I want to care about those children. I want to care about the people that see me and don't just say, oh, you know, he preaches really hard against these things, but then he goes and does them. You know, it's like the Romans 2, you know, you say do not steal and yet you steal, you know, you say don't lie, but you lie. And I think that just always broke my heart for that person, whoever that was who in that story. And it was something that was embedded on my heart. And, you know, when it comes to this, you know, Ecclesiastes, we've been going through that on our Sunday services at Blessed Hope Chapel. Joe's been going through that, and it's been such a great book. And in chapter 7, verse 5, it says it's better to heed, right, the rebuke of the wise than listen to the songs of fools. And in throughout Proverbs, especially when you think about Solomon writing Ecclesiastes, writing Proverbs, and you think of Solomon using the word for fool as to the unbeliever. Yeah. You know, and I think it's really important to
Yeah, that's interesting that. You bring that up, because this Sunday in Ecclesiastes, as we go through it, this Sunday we'll be dealing with a verse that talks about, you know, the left versus the right, you know, which is kind of interesting in light of the left and the right
the political climate. Politically,
even though he wasn't speaking specifically about that, but it kind of fits the bill there. But the next verse after that we'll be spending a week or two on is a couple message on the profile of the fool, you know. And according to the Bible, what's a fool? You know, because he talks about in the chapter 10 we're in right now, around verse 3, about how you can tell a fool by the way he walks down the street. In other words, you could just see.
It's interesting.
And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to spend some time on the biblical profile of a fool and how to spot a fool, you know. And it's just amazing, because that comes back to discernment. And the fool in the Bible is not like the court jester, not the person that making a wisecrack. The Bible, although we got to be careful in that we're not doing coarse jesting, the fool in the Bible is one who is given over to wickedness, who rejects God's moral teaching and lives independently of God's word. And the fool says in heart, there's no God. And it goes on to say, you know, he does his abominations and so forth. And so, you know, that's an excellent verse you bring up there, Chad, because and we dealt with that, like you said, recently in our messages on secular versus Christian music, where he does say, you know, it's better to listen to the rebuke of a wise person, you're right, than to, you know, the songs of fools. And you know what's happened today? Most professing Christians, I say professing, God knows who's who, they'd rather listen to the songs of fools who just blatantly speak against the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then they would listen to someone speak God's truth and be edified. And that's the state we're in right now, but it's being perpetuated by leaders. It starts with the leadership. And when you have leaders that are leading by example, and we think of some of the things, I'm sure we're going to get a couple of those clips of what he stated before, what his wife stated, you can see that
from
their
the
foundation,
pulpit, she stated,
that their foundation is very, not even shaky, it's built on sand.
Yeah, amen. And in fact, Tony, I'm going to ask you to play that clip here in a second, because I believe that these orthopraxies, how they practice their life, has a lot to do with their orthodoxy and what they teach. And Victoria Osteen actually spoke at Lakewood, I believe towards the end of the service, and said what we're about to play, and you're going to hear why someone may think, leader and otherwise, as a believer, that they could attend concerts that are so unbefitting the kingdom of God. Tony, you got that clip for us?
Because God takes pleasure when we're happy. That's the thing that gives Him the greatest joy this morning. So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship Him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself. Because that's what makes God happy. Amen. Let's open.
I'm not going to give her amen on that one. What do you think, Joe? Are we doing what thou wilt? I'm sorry. Do what thou wilt. Is that what she said? I couldn't, you know, get the gist of it. So
I've seen that when she first said that in print. I've never heard it. So it was cringeworthy in print. You know, it's like hyper cringeworthy when you hear it, you know. Wow. You know, and 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Know this, that last time, terrible, difficult, King James, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of self, you know. Verse 5, they'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Meaning they'll look like they're Christians. They'll have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power of God in their lives. And ultimately, it'll be about self, you know. And I'm almost speechless because it's so horrifying to hear that and to realize, you know, that this woman's teaching, you know, tens of thousands of people and far more than that via their, you know, television, you know, audience as well. And she's basically saying, obey God, really do it for yourself. You could look at it as though it's for God's glory. She didn't say God's glory, but look, if you know, that's a way you could look at it, she says. In other words, it's possible, but really it's about us.
Really? That's what she ends it with.
Wow. It's just, you know, we're created for God's glory. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do you benefit from that? Oh, yeah, you definitely do. But you do it because He is God. He's the creator of the universe. Hallowed be your name, you know? So may God open their eyes to what they're doing. May He show them the trouble they're in because there's a stricter judgment. And may God give them repentance before it's too late because there's going to be a strict judgment.
No, I like that you said that too, because I think there does come a place when you hear something like that and then you also magnify that by how many people are hearing her say such a thing.
Back to the orthopraxy, as you mentioned.
That's that. And that clip is from TV. That clip's not from, you know, somebody recording her speaking at the church privately. That was a clip that was played on television to, I'm sure, thousands and thousands of people. And in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, when it talks about counting the cost, when it talks about us giving our life to Christ, and guess what? Putting up the cross and carrying that cross, He says, when you lose your life for my sake, whose sake? The sake of Jesus. When you live my life, when you lose your life for His sake, for Jesus' sake,
amen,
then you will find life. And
amen.
I think when we recognize that, and I think that Galatians 2:20 as well is such a beautiful verse, and I think it encapsulates where the absolute dichotomy between the teaching that she would have there to that congregation versus what the Bible would teach. And it is I who no longer lives. Why? Because Christ died for me. It's He who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. That's literally the, for me, that is the marching orders, that we would live a life completely separate from our own will, that we'd give our lives wholly and completely to Christ for His sake.
Yeah, Jesus, in Revelation 1, it says, unto him, meaning Jesus, who loved us and gave Himself for us. It's all about giving Him glory and living for Him.
It's all about Jesus. God bless you guys.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at goodfight.org, where we feature articles, videos, and life-changing resources on DVD and CD. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us in continuing to deliver powerful biblical content, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.